Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. Peace be with you. Thank you. We see the challenge that Jesus lays before us in the gospel is to go above and beyond what the scribes would do to become righteous. The scribes were those who understood and adhered to the law. In a sense, their minds knew the law and they adhered to it. And then therefore they saw themselves as righteous, as those who were pursuing holiness in the presence of God. In fact, Sirach even reminds us in our first reading, it says, if you keep the commandments, then it will save you. But in Christ Jesus, who takes on flesh and becomes like us, in essence, if you will, embodies the truth of the law, challenges us further than that. Not to settle for staying away from the end game, things such as murder and adultery and false witness, but to be aware of the process that can bring you to that, that the sins that lead to that can be deadly as well. We know as Catholics, we break down our sins into two categories, those of venial sins and those are mortal. Venial sins are those that when we act upon them, the divine life within us, our relationship with God is stressed, but it is not ended. It's still there. The life of grace and divine presence of God is with us. But when we sin in a mortal way, it means that we have severed that gift of God's presence and divine grace, that we are in essence away from Him in darkness. And we need to recognize that there is a difference, and they play in a relationship that Jesus has challenged us to understand today. The best example I've ever had, in essence, of understanding that relationship of venial sin with mortal sin was by a very good friend, priest of mine, when I was young. And he said, look at it this way. It's like a button that is sewn to a shirt. The button and the shirt are adhered together by threads. And that thread is the life of God's grace, His presence within us. And when we use that button, carelessly pulling on it, putting it in so the shirt is close to us, the threads become stressed and even loosened. And if we do not pay attention to it carefully, then one day you may reach for that button and it's no longer there. Just as you would say, I would never kill someone or commit adultery. But these things that we become careless in lead to greater things. Now, we know that that is true, and I'm sure some of you have had that experience. Sometimes if we're lucky, the button falls off in our hand. We say, oh my goodness, I better get this sewn back on. But most of the time, it's not there. How do I know that that's true for more than just me? Because if you buy a decent suit jacket or a coat, inside, right at the bottom, they sew in extra buttons. What do you think those are for? Not so you can go like this. It's because you're going to lose them. I love that analogy because my priest friend told me the sacrament of reconciliation is what continues to strengthen or tightens those threads so the relationship is never lost. That's a good analogy to the challenge that Jesus puts before us. But what does it look like in practicality? It looks like this. When I was in the seminary, we were blessed to have a different apostolic work each year. My first was to serve the mountain poor. We went out into the mountain and served the people. My second year, I was a sixth grade teacher at Fort Ritchie Army Base. Sixth graders are tough to teach, but Army brats are more difficult. My third year, I was able to go to Camp Hill State Prison and visit the prisoners. And one day when we were there, there was a man who wanted to see a priest. He wanted to go to confession. And they said, well, we don't have any priests. We just have seminarians. He said, well, that'll do. So I went to the man and to visit him, you know, and it's kind of like on TV, you know, you go to visit a prisoner. What do you say? So what are you in for? And he said, I'm in for writing an IOU. I said, well, I don't understand. You're in state prison for writing an IOU. He says, yeah, let me explain what happened. He said, I was the treasurer of my bowling league, and I was responsible for the monies that came in, and at the end of the month, I would pay the fees to the bowling alley and also build up a little kitty for the party at the end of the year, the bowling banquet. Now, if you've ever been in a bowling league, the bowling banquet is like the most important thing that can happen. He said, so on occasion, because I felt I was in need for a little bit more money, I would just take $30, $40 and just write an IOU and put it in the bag. And always it pay, I would pay back. He said, but after a while, I became careless in paying it back or not even really desiring to pay it back. And at the end 1 year, I was certainly in a debt to the bowling league more than I could afford. He said, so what I did was I found a cheaper caterer. I got the cheapest beer, the cheapest place to get together. In fact, we used the bowling alley. And I was able to put on the banquet with the money I had left over. Therefore, I never bothered to pay my IOUs. He said, when this became to become a habit, I began to do it at work as well. I was an investment banker, and I would help myself for the monies that I needed, justifying that I was still earning for the others. And so here I sit in state prison because I wrote an IOU. This is what Jesus is warning us again. He's warning us not to just be righteous by our minds and understanding the law and judging others upon it, but become righteous in your heart and your actions so that your anger will never lead you to something greater. Because even in death of another one, we take their life by our words. To remain always pure in our hearts so that we never fall short of the love of all those who are in our lives. And certainly, if it's yes, say yes. We know we fail at this. Why? Because we have the saying, it was just a little white lie. So what should be our mission this week? What should be the glasses that we put on to give us that 2020 vision to follow the Lord? First and foremost, do not write any IOUs to the Lord. Make no excuses for your small sins. Yes, you can pay those debts in confession, but after a while, you tend to even forget that they're sins. How do I know that? A lot of times people come in there and say, wow, I can't think of anything I did. I said, well, you want me to bring your wife in? You want me to bring your neighbor in? You want me to bring your boss in? But see what we do. When we write those IOUs to the Lord, we tend to forget that the thread, the divine life, is being pulled away from a perfect relationship of holiness. Secondly, use the sacrament of reconciliation. Venial sins are forgiven by an act of contrition. We understand that. But speaking them in the sacrament also strengthens our resolve not to kill, not to commit sins against purity, and not to bear false witness to our brother and our sister. So when you come forward to receive our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, remember that he took on flesh. He gives us the strength of his body and blood in the sacrament so that we desire to be more than intellectual law holders, that we choose what is right over wrong, that we realize what Sirach said. He puts before you what? Fire and water. We say it's black and white. But Sirach says fire and water. Fire destroys everything. Water gives life. Which one do you put your hands to? Ask God for the faith and love that Christ has for you, that you may act in his name. Ask him to help you to have the hope that in perseverance you may share in his eternal kingdom. And I promise I will do the same.